بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، we began reading the chapter the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى. باب ذكر الرياء والسمعة. باب ذكر الرياء والسمعة. The chapter with regards to the mention of الرياء, showing off in actions of worship, showing off to the people and hoping for their praise. والسمعة. الرياء, the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is إظهار العبادة بقصد رؤية الناس لها فيحمدون صائبها. That الرياء is to display an action of worship with the intent of being seen by the people in order for them to praise the person doing that. So a person, he will strive, يعمل في تحسين العبادة. He will strive and make effort to perform the action of worship in the best manner. But his intention behind that is for the people to see him and to praise him and to have a status and rank with them. This is called الرياء. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is related to the affair of sight. يعني تتعلق بالبصر. It's related to the eyesight. يعني people seeing his actions, people seeing his worship. And then the author mentioned وَالسُّمْعَ, and also السُّمْعَ. And السُّمْعَ, it is similar to الرِّيَاء. It is similar to الرِّيَاء. Rather, السُّمْعَ likewise is الرِّيَاء, showing off. But the people of knowledge, they make a difference between the two, and they say about the الرِّيَاء that it's related to the eyes. It's related to the eyes, and it's so that the people will see him. So therefore, this is something that is with regards to the actions that are seen. So the one who is al-mara'i, then he performs the actions in order for the people to see his actions and to praise him and to have some type of status or rank with them. And as for the musammi', the one who has the sum'a, then this is with regards to hasat al-sam', with regards to hearing. So therefore it's related to the statements. So as-sum'a is riya, is showing off, but it's with regards to statements. So the one who is making riya, then for example, he will beautify his prayer for somebody to praise him, or he'll give charity, hoping for the praise of the people and someone to say that he's charitable, and for the people to praise him and to like him or to give him status and rank. He'll give charity. This action, we'll pray or beautify his prayer and the likes like this. This is considered riya. But as for the person, for example, who is making dhikr, and he will make the dhikr out loud, and he, with the intention for the people to hear him and to say, oh mashallah, he's somebody who remembers Allah. Oh mashallah, he memorized a lot of adhkar. Oh mashallah, this and that, saying this about him. So he will make the dhikr, for example, out loud and audibly so that he can be heard. In order to be praised. So from this aspect, any as-sum'a is from al-riya, but it's specific to the statements. So both of them, al-maqsudu minhuma talabu al-manzilata fi qulub al-nas. That what is intended between both of these affairs is that a person, he would do the actions of worship, he would do the deeds that are for the hereafter, and he is hoping to have a status in the heart of the people. He's hoping by way of these actions of the hereafter and these actions of worship, whether they are actions or whether they are statements, he is hoping by way of them to have position and have a place and status in the hearts of mankind. So here, this individual at this time, his heart is attached to the people and not to the Creator. His heart is attached with hope. He's hoping from them and he's wanting something from them. And the likes like this, he's hoping for the people to see his actions. And these are actions that are from the actions of the hereafter, that are from the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the statements likewise. So from this aspect, every action of riya, whether it is done with the actions or whether it is done with the tongue and the statements, it is all disgusting and despicable and lowly. It is all disgusting and despicable and lowly. And for this reason, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah ta'ala, he died in the year 161. He mentioned, "Inna akbaha ar-ragbati an tutlab ad-dunya, an tutlab ad-dunya bi-amal al-akhirah." That the most disgusting desire, the most filthy and disgusting desire and hope a person can have in his heart is that the dunya is sought by way of the deeds of the hereafter. By way of the deeds of the hereafter. There's another interpretation of as-sum'ah, the people of knowledge have mentioned, and they have a different understanding, and they would say that ar-riya, it includes the sum'ah that had preceded. Ar-riya is to perform an action of worship, whether it's an action or a statement. Whether it's an action or a statement, hoping for the reward from the people, or the praise from the people, or status and rank from the people, all of this is called riya. As for as-sum'ah, then this is different. And they say this is whenever a person, he will do a deed for the sake of Allah alone. He will do an action for the sake of Allah alone, and it will be hidden from the people, and no one will know about it. And then he will go and inform them. And then he will go and inform them of his deeds. For example, somebody, he prayed in the night prayer. Nobody knows about his night prayer. And then he will come in the morning and he will inform the people. Yeah, last night I prayed 5 rak'ah for the sake of Allah. And I recited this and I recited that. And I stood in that prayer for this many hours. And I got it before Fajr by this time. And he will tell the people. This was between him and Allah Azza wa Jal. And in the origin, he did it for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then later, what did he come? Sama'a bihi. Sama'a bihi. He started informing the people of his good deeds. He started to inform the people of his good deeds that had already been hidden. So likewise, this is something that is found. So this is the understanding the people of knowledge they have mentioned with regards to ar-riya wa sum'ah. And in no doubt, any action, any, if he's doing it for other than the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, this is a type of shirk. And the issue here that this is minor shirk, the one who did it in this manner. And he's performing an action of worship, and then he starts to do that for the sake of praising the people or hoping for the reward from the people. And there are ahkam fiqhiyya related to these affairs. We take them in the end of the chapter, inshaAllah. And what would happen? What is the effect of ar-riya and sum'ah on the deed? Does it invalidate it entirely? Or is the reward deplenished and so on and so forth? There are details with regards to this. So again, ar-riya wa sum'ah, these are two great diseases from the diseases of the heart. And they're major sins. And they are from the major sins. And a believer, he will strive to purify his heart from these affairs. In our previous chapter, we were discussing the issue, or the past two chapters there with regards to al-kibr and al-ujub. And we've seen that in the Fatiha, there was the cure for that. There was the cure for both of those diseases. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned this affair. And likewise, in the Fatiha as well, in the same verse, there's a cure for this issue here. As well, ar-riya wa sum'ah. Who remembers that verse and that cure? And the understanding of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah. Ahsant, and the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help. There's two statements here. One of them, it removes and repels ujub and kibr, and kibriya wal ujub, arrogance and pride and self-amazement. And the other one, it repels ar-riya, wanting to be seen and showing off in worship.
The first is for Allah,
Iyyaka na'budu. This one repels. Iyyaka na'budu. هذه كلمة تدفع الرياء. This one removes the one who understands this verse, and he contemplates on this verse, and he strives to fulfill the rights of this verse properly. This will save him and repel from him, by the permission of Allah, all types, every type of shirk, even the smallest type, and the showing off and wanting to be seen. Iyyaka na'budu, you alone do we worship. O Allah, you alone do we worship. This one here repels ar-riya. And Iyyaka nasta'in, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. This one repels arrogance and pride and self-amazement. Because a person, he can only worship Allah Azza wa Jal by the help of Allah. So therefore, if he has some good in the actions of worship in his deen, or even in the dunya, likewise, it's all from the favor and the help and the aid of Allah. So the one who knows Allah Azza wa Jal, he will single him out for worship. and worship Him alone. And He will make all of His actions from the actions of the hereafter for Allah alone. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, iyyaka na'budu. And likewise, He will never be self-amazed, and He will never think that he's better than others because of a virtue that He has Himself. But rather, He knows that the fadl is from Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that the virtue and the grace is from Allah. So therefore, He will remain humble, and He will not be self-amazed, and He will remain humble, and He will not be proud and arrogant and haughty and the likes like that. So this verse here is an amazing verse with regards to the cure of these diseases here. The cure of these first three diseases that the author he's referring to from the major sins of the heart, al-kibru wal-ujbu wal-riya wal-sum'a. Then this is found in the Fatiha. The cure for this can be found in the Fatiha. The author he began rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَقَوْلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and the statement of Allah the Most High, and in the chapter mentioning showing off and wanting to be heard, showing off and wanting to be heard, any with the actions of the deen. And then he says, in the statement of Allah the Most High, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُّ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلِيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And he mentioned the statement of Allah the Most High, so therefore whoever hopes for the meeting of his Lord, whoever truly hopes for the meeting of his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds. Then let him work righteous deeds and not associate any partners in the worship of his Lord whatsoever. And not associate any partners in the worship of his Lord whatsoever. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ الرَّجَاء. Whenever this is mentioned here, hope coming along with that is fear. So what is intended here, the one who's hoping for the meeting of his Lord, and the promise of Allah, and he fears his punishment. The one who's hoping for the meeting of Allah Azza wa Jalla, meaning he's hoping for the reward from Allah whenever he meets him, and he's hoping to see his face, his noble face, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's afraid of his punishment and his threat. Likewise, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, the one who has this fear and hope in his heart from Allah Azza wa Jalla, then what should he do? فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Then let him work righteous deeds. Then let him work righteous deeds. And the righteous deeds are the deeds that Allah, he has legislated and allowed. They are the deeds that he has legislated and allowed, and they are the deeds that have been established in the Sharia and the legislation that he has revealed and he has completed, subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the hands of the conveyance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the deed that is considered righteous is the one that is in accordance with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his legal ways. And likewise, the one that is done for the sake of Allah alone, that is done for the sake of Allah alone. The one who gathers between these two great conditions, then his deed is considered righteous. His deed, his amal, is considered salih and hasan. It's considered good and it's considered righteous. And he has an amalun salihun, and he has a hasana min al-hasanat wa qurba, and his action is considered true ibadah. And if it were to miss one of these, or both of these, then it will be rejected and it will never be accepted. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he clarified and specified this issue of التوحيد والإخلاص. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And he should not associate any partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord. He should not associate any partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord. It has come from many of the Salaf. They have understood this portion of the verse here to refer to الرياء. To refer to yani ar-riya specifically, to refer to showing off specifically. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Some of the people of knowledge, rather many from the Salaf, they have mentioned that what is intended here is showing off. Is showing off. أَيْ لَا يُرَائِي بِعَمَلِهِ. This is what Al-Imam al-Baghawi, he mentioned, and has been narrated from many of the Salaf, that this is what they understood from this verse. But Al-Imam al-Shanqiqi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that that's correct, and this has been narrated from many of the Salaf, but in reality the verse is general, including all aspects of shirk. Major shirk is included likewise, that he should not commit major shirk, or any shirk whatsoever, nor any minor shirk. So every aspect of shirk is included here. فَوَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Let him not associate partners with Allah Azza wa Jal, let him not associate partners in the worship of his Lord whatsoever. Whatsoever. And we have here, this is a prohibition. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ. The la here is la nahiya. This is the la of prohibition. And here we have that which is negated, ahadan, which is nakira, which is indefinite. And if something is negated and it is indefinite. In the context of being indefinite, then this indicates that it's all-inclusive in general. So that's why the translation here is, and he should not associate any partners whatsoever. Any partners whatsoever in the worship of his Lord. That's the translation of this statement. And it's understood from these principles and understanding the Arabic language in Usul al-Fiqh. النكرات في سياق النهي والنفي والشرط تفيد العموم. That whenever there's an indefinite term that's being negated, or it's being prohibited, or it comes in the context of a conditional sentence, then that indefinite word, it includes every aspect. It's all-encompassing and inclusive. It's all-encompassing and inclusive. So therefore, one will say, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Then let him not associate in the worship of his Lord anyone whatsoever. No minor one, no major one. No minor one, no major one. The major one is negated, the minor one is negated. If the minor one is negated, then no doubt the major one is negated. But many of the people of knowledge that have mentioned and they understood specifically about this, yani that one should especially pay attention, especially the believers, especially pay attention to the issue of ar-riya and showing off. So this verse here is in reality an explanation of iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. And Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a work called Madarij as-Salikin. And we have read from this work a number of times. And he's actually explaining this verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, and all of the levels of the worshipper on his path, down the path of the straight path, and السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, worshipping Allah alone and seeking His aid, and the ranks of sincerity and truthfulness and patience and hope and fear and love and reliance and trust. All of these affairs, he touched on them in this work, but he has some benefits that we read from tonight about this portion here, and he clarifying some benefits from إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, because in this manner a believer, he can repel بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى the riya and the sum'ah that can leave his heart, because it comes to the people and no one is safe from that, and this is from the whispers of shaitan. But a believer, he has to learn how to deal with these affairs. He has to become accustomed with his soul. And likewise, he has to know his Lord and what is required from him and the rights of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then likewise, know the creation and their status and their rank and put everyone in their place. And the one who knows his Lord and he knows his creation, he'll give his Lord his rights. And he will not mix them up with the rights of the creation. He'll give the creation their rights likewise for the sake of his Lord. For the sake of his Lord. But the one who is misguided or has a misunderstanding in these affairs, he could start to give some of the creation the rights of his Lord. And in reality, that's the case of wanting to be heard and showing off. That a person, he will pray, for example, and the one who is praying, this is a supplication and invocation, and he's calling on Allah. He's calling on Allah with his salat, hoping that it's accepted, and he's hoping that he will have reward for that. And he's hoping that it will be heavy in his scales on the day that he meets Allah, that it's something that Allah is pleased with from him and will accept. But at the time of showing off, now instead of having that hope and that heart attached to Allah, now his hope is directed to the creation. Now his heart has turned away from hoping for the face of Allah and is hoping that the people will see him. And it's directed to the face of the people. And this is a foul and despicable trait. This is a foul and despicable trait. And this is from that aspect of that statement of Sufyan al-Thawri, إِنَّ أَقْبَحَ عَرَقْبَتِي أَن تُطْلَبَ الدُّنْيَا بِأَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. So before reading these things, he mentioned a benefit about this affair. So a believer, he'll cure himself from wanting to be heard and wanting to be seen with إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, and he will cure himself from pride and arrogance and self-amazement with إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And the author, he began this work mentioning these affairs here and the wisdom behind that, because of how dangerous they are and how much they occur, and how any believer, he can be tried by them. He can be tried by them greatly in his life if he's not careful. But he's mentioning about the issue of this verse here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, you alone do we worship and you alone do we seek help and aid and assistance from. He said, وَسِرُّ الْخَلْقِ وَالْكُتُبِ وَالْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِ وَالشِّرَاعِ وَالثَّوَابِ وَالْعِقَابِ إِنْتَهَا إِلَى هَاتَيْنِ الْكَلِمَتَيْنِ. The secret. And when he says the secret, meaning the hikmah, the wisdom. The wisdom, the secret, the wisdom behind the creation and the revelation of the books and the command and the prohibition and the legislative rights and the reward and the punishment, all of this, the wisdom behind this and the secret behind these affairs, it goes back to these statements. It goes back to these two statements. What are they? إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُودُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ. You alone do we worship, and you alone do we seek aid and help from. You alone do we worship gets rid of the chapter that we're talking about. الرِّيَاء وَالسُّمْعَةُ. And you alone do we seek aid and help, will repel that which has proceeded from the first two chapters, كِبْر and عُجُب. He says, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَعَلَيْهِمَا مَدَارُ الْعُبُودِيَّةِ وَالتَّوْحِيدِ. That true sincere worship and servitude and tawheed, singling out Allah alone, and all aspects of worship revolve around these two statements. Al-ubudiyyah and sincere worship and tawheed, the reality of al-tawheed, it revolves around these two statements. حتى قيل أنزل الله مئة كتاب وأربعة كتب جمع معانيها في التوراة والإنجيل والقرآن. He said it's been mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal, He has revealed 104 books, and He has gathered the meanings of all those books in the Torah and the Injil and the Quran. All of the previous revelations that He has revealed upon His prophets has been mentioned like this. He said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, that have been revealed 104 books. The meanings and the benefits and that which is found in all of those books is summarized in the three books. At Torah, which was given to Musa alayhi salam, at Injil, which was given to Isa alayhi salam, and Quran, which was given to our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, وَجَمَعَ مَعَانِيَ هَذِهِ الْكُتُبِ الثَّلَاثَةِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. And the meanings of all three of these books have been summarized and gathered in the Quran. وَجَمَعَ مَعَانِيَ الْقُرْآنَ فِي الْمُفَصَّلِ. And Allah, He gathered the meanings of the entire Quran in the Mufassal. What's that? القاف إلى الناس أو الحجرات والحجرات هم the مفصل from حجرات to الناس أو قاف to الناس. And he said that all of the books have been gathered in those three, the Torah, the Injil, and the Quran. And all of those, the benefits and the understanding, the meaning and the likes and the rulings in those books have been gathered in the Quran. And all of the meanings of the Quran have been summarized in the مفصل. And the Mufassal. And then he said, وَمَعَانِي الْمُفَصَّلِ فِي الْفَاتِحَةِ. And all of the meanings of the Mufassal are summarized in الْفَاتِحَةِ. وَمَعَانِي الْفَاتِحَةِ فِي إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And all of the meanings of the Fatiha are summarized in this verse here, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So this is something that all of the prophets and messengers, they were sent with. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Yani worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal alone and seeking His aid and help to do that and to comply to that. So this is a beautiful benefit to understand. A believer, he will strive to understand the Quran. And from the best way to do that is to understand first and foremost the meanings of the Fatiha. And then understand what is required from this statement. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And this is a great statement. Half of it is for Allah, the other half of it is for the slave. And then after that, اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Guide us to the straight path. Guide us to the straight path. The best thing that a believer can ask for in this life is guidance to the straight path and help upon that. Guidance to the straight path and help upon that. For this reason, it's an obligation for every believer to ask for this. For every believer to ask for this, a minimum of 17 times a day. And everyone who is required to pray, he has to make this supplication. وَإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ اِهْدِنَا صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمٌ. Guide us to the straight path and help us upon that guidance. So this is the most virtuous thing to ask for. And the best thing that one could have in this life is help from Allah Azza wa Jal to fulfill one's purpose in life. It's help from Allah Azza wa Jal to fulfill one's purpose in life. One's purpose in life is to worship Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. One cannot fulfill that purpose except with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. Except with the help of Allah Azza wa Jal. So now this verse here is clarifying that. How can one fulfill this purpose, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ? How can he free himself from riyā? How can he free himself from sum'ah? How can he free himself from wanting to be heard? He has to fulfill the rights of that statement, the first statement. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. You alone do we worship. You alone do we worship. So Ibn Qayyim, he says, رَحِمَهُ إِذَا أُرِفَ هَذَا فَلَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مُتَحَقِّقًا بِإِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ إِلَّا بِأَصْلَيْنِ عَظِيمَيْنِ. That if this is known, and what has preceded, that a person, he will never fulfill the rights of you alone do we worship, except by two great principles, two great fundamentals. أَحَدُهُمَا مُتَابَعَةُ الرَّسُولِ وَالثَّانِي الْإِخْلَاصُ لِلْمَعْبُودِ. The first one is to follow diligently and restrictedly and restrictedly the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the second one is to have sincerity and ikhlas for the one who is worshipped, for Allah azza wa jal. فَهَذَا تَحْقِيقُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. So this is the actualization and fulfilling the rights of this statement and applying it properly. You alone do we worship. And he mentioned, he says that the people, they're divided into four categories with regards to this, with regards to al-mutaba'a wal-ikhlas. The people are in four categories. What is important for us now is the first category. And he mentioned this first category, they are ahlu iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in. They are the people of this statement, the people who fulfill the rights of this statement, and they are the true beloved ones of Allah Azza wa Jal. Then they are the ones who gather between these two affairs. He said, أَحَدُهَا أَهْلُ الْإِخْلَاصِ لِلْمَعْبُودِ وَالْمُتَابَعَةِ. The people of ikhlas, they worship Allah alone with no partners whatsoever, and those who follow the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diligently. He says, هُمْ أَهْلُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُودُ. These are the people of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُودُ حَقِيقَةً, in reality. فَأَعْمَالُهُمْ كُلُّهَا لِلَّهِ وَأَقْوَالُهُمْ لِلَّهِ وَأَعْطَاؤُهُمْ لِلَّهِ وَمَنْعُهُمْ لِلَّهِ وَحُبُّهُمْ لِلَّهِ وَبُغْضُهُمْ لِلَّهِ فَمُعَامَلَتُهُمْ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا لِوَجْهِ اللَّهِ وَحْدَهُ لَا يُرِيدُونَ بِذَلِكَ جَزَاءً مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا شُكُورًا وَلَا ابْتِغَاءَ الْجَاهِ عِنْدَهُمْ وَلَا طَالِبَ الْمَحْمَدَةِ وَالْمَنْزِلَةِ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ. He said, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, so these people here, they're the ones who have made all of their actions for the sake of Allah alone. And all of their statements are for the sake of Allah alone. And whatever they give, and that which they give, it's for the sake of Allah alone. And if they prohibit and hold back, it's for the sake of Allah alone. And their love and their heart is for the sake of Allah. And the hate in their heart and the dislike in their heart is for the sake of Allah. So all of their dealings and all of their actions, inwardly and outwardly, is for the sake of Allah and seeking the face of Allah alone. He says, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, they do not want any recompense from the people, and they're not looking for thanks from the people, and they're not hoping for position from the people, and they're not seeking praise from the people or status in the hearts of the people. وَلَا حَرَبَ مِنْ ذَمِّهِمْ. And they're not doing what they do, likewise fleeing from their blame. So they're not doing the actions that they do. They're not the dealings that they have with Allah and with the people. They're doing it for the sake of Allah and with love from Allah. And if they dislike something, it's because of the fact that they dislike it for the sake of Allah. All of their actions and all of their dealings are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they're not looking for praise from the people, and they're not afraid of the people blaming them. And they're not afraid of the people blaming them. He says, بَلْ قَدْ عَدُّوا النَّاسَ كَأَصْحَابِ الْقُبُورِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ لَهُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا وَلَا مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. He said, rather they have considered the people to be like those who are in the graves. They do not possess for them any harm or any benefit or any death or any life, or they're not going to resurrect them. And with regards to bringing about benefit and harm in the life like this, they have considered the people who are alive on the earth to be equal with those who are dead in the graves. The people who are dead in the graves, we know, those with sound mind and the proper creed, they cannot benefit whatsoever, not them and nobody else. And they can't harm likewise whatsoever, not them and nobody else. So they have considered the people who are alive walking on the earth the same, and this is the true reality and the actualization of it, tawheed, that the command is for Allah. That the command is for Allah. Nothing happens in this life and this creation except with the permission of Allah. And nobody can help a person, even if they got all together, to do that except if it's written from the decree of Allah. And nobody can harm a person, even if they got all together to harm him and they plotted against him, except if this is something that is written with Allah and allowed by him. So they have this understanding and they have this tawheed in their heart. So they're not looking for good from the people themselves as individuals and as people. And they're not afraid of them likewise as individuals and people. Rather, they're hoping for the good from Allah. They're hoping for the good and the benefit from Allah. And they're afraid and they're worried about that which will come from Allah. So therefore they have made their dealings entirely for the sake of Allah, the one who has authority and the one who has command, the one who brings about benefit and the one who can harm alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says, rahimahullah, فَالْعَمَلُ لِأَجْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ وَابْتِغَاءَ الْجَاهِ وَالْمَنْزِلَةِ عِنْدَهُمْ وَفَالْعَمَلُ لِأَجْلِ هَؤُلَاءِ وَابْتِغَاءُ الْجَاهِ وَالْمَنْزِلَةِ عِنْدَهُمْ وَرَجَاءُهُمْ لِلضَّرِّ وَالنَّفْعِ مِنْهُمْ لَا يَكُونُوا مِنْ عَارِفٍ بِهِ بِهِمْ أَلْبَتَّ بَلْ مِنْ جَاهِلٍ بِشَأْنِهِمْ وَجَاهِلٍ بِرَبِّهِ. He said, so the one who does deeds for the people And he's hoping for their praise and status with them. And he has hope in them, and he desires them. And he's worried about them with regards to harm or bringing about benefit. This will never occur. This will never occur from somebody who has knowledge of these affairs. Rather, this is only happening because of one who has knowledge of the people. He's ignorant with regards to the people, and he's ignorant with regards to his Lord. He's ignorant with regards to the people, and he's ignorant with regards to his Lord. He said, فَمَنْ عَرَفَ النَّاسَ أَنزَلَهُمْ مَنَازِلَهُمْ وَمَنْ عَرَفَ اللَّهَ أَخْلَصَ لَهُ عَمَالُهُ وَأَقْوَالُهُ وَأَطَاءُهُ وَمَنْعُهُ وَحُبُّهُ وَبُغْضَهُ. He said, so whoever truly knows the people, then he will put them in their prospective places. And whoever truly knows Allah, then he will make his actions and his statements and his giving and his prohibiting and his love and his hate, all of it sincerity and purity for Allah alone. All of it in sincerity and purity for Allah alone. This is because the people, no matter how strong they are, how powerful they are exposed to sickness. And they are exposed to weakness, and they are under the command of Allah. And no doubt, even if they remain strong until they die, they're going to die and go away. They do not last. As for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is alive and never dies. He is alive and He never dies. And this is something that is amazing with regards to the people of At-Tawheed. And at the heads of them, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu, whenever the people were affected greatly at the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and some of them didn't accept it in the beginning. Some of them didn't accept it in the beginning. It was hard for them. And when it first happened, at that first moment, the Abu Bakr, he came out after having certainty that the Messenger died, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he gave a great khutbah. And he said, verily, whoever used to worship Muhammad, من كان يعبد محمد فإن محمد قد مات ومن كان يعبد الله فإن الله حي لا يموت. He said, whoever used to worship Muhammad, then verily Muhammad is dead, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But whoever worship Allah, then he is alive and he never dies. So therefore, the one who knows the people, no matter how great they are, the rank or the status that they have, they're going to die, and they're under the command of Allah, and they're in need of Allah, and they're weak in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whatever good they have is from Allah. It's from Allah, not from them, and not from their virtue, rather the virtue of Allah upon them. And this is the reality. And they cannot harm or help or benefit except by the command and permission of Allah. So Allah, He is the one who has authority and command. So the one who knows the people and he knows his Lord in this manner, then he will put the people in their prospective places and give everyone his right accordingly. And likewise, he will make all of his deeds, his speech and his action, his love and his hate, his giving and his prohibiting for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Because this is what will benefit, and this is what is required. And anyone who sees these affairs and is aware of At-Tawheed and the realities and the requirements of At-Tawheed, he will see that this is the truth. He says, لا يعامر أحد الخلق دون الله إلا لجهله بالله وجهله بالخلق. Nobody, he will make his dealings for the sake of the creation. He will deal with the creation because of the creation, without looking to Allah, except for somebody who's ignorant about Allah and ignorant about the creation. Except for somebody who's ignorant about Allah and ignorant about the creation. And he's talking about here, everything he does is for the sake of Allah. He doesn't deal with the people. He's not nice with the people because the people are nice to him. He doesn't give the rights of the people because the people gave him his rights. He's not rude and harsh to the people because the people are rude and harsh to him. He doesn't deal with the people based upon the people. The only one who deals with the people based upon the people without looking to Allah Azza wa Jal, he's saying here, is because he's ignorant of the people and he's ignorant of Allah. He's ignorant of the people and he's ignorant of Allah. The one who deals with the people like this, without dealing with Allah, then he's ignorant of Allah. And he's ignorant of mankind and the creation. He said, وَإِلَّا فَإِذَا عَرَفَ اللَّهَ وَعَرَفَ النَّاسَ عَاثَرَ مُعَامَلَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَى مُعَامَلَتِهِمْ. As for the one who has knowledge of Allah, and he knows about the people likewise, he has knowledge of mankind, then he will take preference and show preference to the dealings with Allah over dealing with them. So therefore, whenever he deals with the people, he's not dealing with them. He's dealing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever he gives the people their rights, or he's kind to them, and he gives them from his obligations, or whether it's not obligation, he does that for the sake of Allah. Or if he's harsh with them, or rude with them, or he refrains from them, or he turns away from them, and he prohibits them, all of this is not because of that person, but for the sake of Allah. So everything that he does whenever he deals with the people, if he smiles in their face, it's for the sake of Allah, not hoping for something from them. They can't give him anything anyways. They can't give him anything anyways, only if Allah decreed and commanded. So therefore, he will smile in the people's face, and he will be kind to them for the sake of Allah. He will bear the harm of the people, and he will pardon them for the sake of Allah. Because he has the reality of a tawheed in his heart, and he knows that the command is Allah's, and that these people, they have nothing to do. These people, they have no authority or command. So he will not deal with them for them, rather he will deal with them for the sake of Allah. He will deal with them for the sake of Allah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. But you can't do that except for with وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. So we say وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانَ. May Allah help us. So therefore he says وَكَذَلِكَ أَعْمَالُهُمْ كُلُّهَا وَعِبَادَتُهُمْ وَافِقَةً لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَلِمَا يُحِبُّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. So كَذَلِكَ, the one who understands this, the one who understands this, all of his deeds and all of his worships, they will be in accordance to the command of Allah. They will be in accordance to the command of Allah, and in accordance to that which is beloved to Allah and that which He's pleased with. What is he starting to refer to now? Huh? The Sunnah. It's in accordance to the command of Allah and that which Allah loves. He will not just do these actions that he's doing them for the sake of Allah, having ikhlas and having sincerity, having tawheed, without complying to any commandments, and doing them as he sees fit, or what he thinks that is good, or how they do it in his country, or how he was brought up in his customs and his culture. Rather, he's doing now with his sincere tawheed, looking for to perform his actions according to what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. And what Allah loves and is pleased with is legislated in his deen and has been sealed and finalized with the coming of the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he says, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْعَمَلُ أَلَذِي لَا يَكْبَلُ اللَّهُ مِنْ عَامِرٍ سِوَاهُ. And this is the deed, this is the action that Allah, he does not accept any actions from anybody except like this. وَهُوَ الَّذِي بَلَى عِبَادُهُ بِالْمَوْتِ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِأَجْرِهِ. And this action here, this deed here that is done like this, sincerity for the sake of Allah, seeking the reward from Allah alone, and according to that which is beloved to Allah and pleased with, and that which He's pleased with. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has tried the slaves with. He has tried them with death and life in order to obtain this, and with regards to this. And this is why we're alive, and this is why we will die. This is why we're alive, and this is why we will die, as a test and a trial with regards to this. He said, قَالَ تَعَالَى, Allah, He said, the Most High, أَلَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. It is He, Allah, who has created the death and the life to test you, to see who is best indeed. To test you, to see who is best indeed. وَجَعَلَ مَعَالَ الْأَرْضِ زِينَةً لَهَا لِيَخْتَبِرَهُمْ أَيُّهُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Referring to other verses likewise. And Allah, He has made everything on the earth as an adornment and a beautification in order to test them and try them to see who is best indeed. In order to test them and try them to see who is best indeed. We notice here Allah, He says, أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. And He didn't say, أَكْثَرُ عَمَلًا. He didn't say the one who did the most deeds. And it's been narrated from Muhammad ibn Ajlan that he said, he didn't say he did the most deeds, rahimahullah, but rather he said he did the best deed. So the deed, it has to be described with husn, and it has to be described with salah, it has to be amal salih, it has to be amalun hasan. It can't just be any deed. It can't just be any deed. So he mentions now, he says, Qala al-Fudayl ibn Iyad. Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, he's from the Atba' Tabi'een. He died in the year 187, rahimahullah ta'ala. He was asked about this. What does it mean? What is the meaning of ahsanu amala, the best deed? The best deed. What does that mean? What is a deed that's considered the best deed? He said, rahimahullahu ta'ala, huwa akhlasuhu wa aswabu. Huwa akhlasuhu wa aswabu. And he said, huwa akhlasuhu wa aswabu. So then they said to him, qalu ya Aba Ali. That's his kunya. Al-Fudayl, his kunya, Al-Fudayl ibn Iyad, Abu Ali. They said, ya Aba Ali, ma akhlasuhu wa aswabu. What does that mean? What does that mean? The best deed. The best deed is أَخْلَصُهُ وَأَصْوَبُ. They say, okay, what's that mean? What's that mean? قَالَ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ الْعَمَلَ إِذَا كَانَ خَالِصًا وَلَمْ يُكُنْ صَوَابًا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ. The deed, if it was sincere and purely for the sake of Allah, but it was not correct, then it will not be accepted. وَإِذَا كَانَ صَوَابًا وَلَمْ يُكُنْ خَالِصًا لَمْ يُقْبَلْ. And if it was correct, any outwardly, but it was not purity inside, done for the sake of Allah, it will not be accepted. حَتَّى يَكُونَ خَالِصًا صَوَابًا. Until it will be pure and correct. Until it is done purely for the sake of Allah and correctly. He said, فَالْخَالِصُ أَنْ يَكُونَ لِلَّهِ. The one that is pure is the one that is done solely for the sake of Allah, hoping for the reward only from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالصَّوَابُ أَنْ يَكُونَ عَلَى السُّنَّةِ. And the one that is done correctly is the one that is done according to the sunnah. The one that is done according to the sunnah. Ibn Qayyim, he says, وَهَذَا هُوَ الْمَذْكُورُ فِي قَوْلِهِ تَعَالَى. And this is what is referred to in the statement of Allah the Most High. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرُجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And whoever is hoping for the meeting of his Lord, then let him work righteous deeds and not associate in the worship of his Lord anything whatsoever. Anything whatsoever. So this is the interpretation of the verse that we have here that is clarifying the obligation of making the deed sincerely for the sake of Allah. Sincerely for the sake of Allah. And this requires for a believer to bring the hope into his heart. First and foremost, a believer, he will have in his heart and his intention, a general intention, that all of his actions will be for the sake of Allah. If he's going to do an action of worship, every time he prays, he will pray only for the sake of Allah. If he gives charity, he will only give charity for the sake of Allah. If he seeks knowledge, if he teaches, if he brings benefit, whatever act of worship, if it's established, he has a general intention in his life, it's only for the sake of Allah. And this is the requirement of أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وإياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. This is what this requires. And also along with that, his general intention is, as well, every statement, every action of worship, it will be also according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the issue with riya, the issue with showing off and wanting to be heard, it occurs at the time of the worship. At the time of the worship. So the believer, he has the general encompassing intention like this. Every believer, he has this general intention. But what is required at the time of performing the action of worship? At the time of performing the action of worship is to remember Allah. Is to remember Allah and to remember the favors of Allah and the blessings of Allah and the ma'iyah of Allah, that Allah is with the person and he by his knowledge, and that Allah, he can see him, and that Allah is aware of him and can hear him, and Allah knows his situation, and he will remember these affairs and the promise of Allah and the threat of Allah and the hope in his heart at this time for the blessing of Allah and the favor of Allah and the acceptance from Allah will be high. And now he will have no attachment to the creation. In this manner he can have ikhlas and be free from showing off. After this, the author, he mentioned a narration. He says, "An Jundub ibn Abdullah radiyallahu anhu, annahu qala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man samma'a, samma'a Allahu bihi, wa man yura'i, yura'i Allahu bihi, akhrajahu." The author, he mentioned a narration of Jundub ibn Abdullah al-Bajri radiyallahu anhu. Jundub ibn Abdullah Al-Bajri radiyallahu anhu, he, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went to Al-Kufa, and after that later to Al-Basra, and he died approximately after the year 60, and he died in the trials that occurred along with Abdullah ibn Az-Zubayr radiyallahu anhum jami'an. He is the narrator. He mentioned that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, "Man samma'a, samma'a Allahu bihi, wa man yura'i, yura'i Allahu bihi." أخرجاهو, that whoever makes sum'ah, and the meaning of this word, whoever makes ar-riyah, this is the meaning, like whoever does something to be heard, then Allah would expose him. Then Allah will make him be heard, meaning Allah would expose him. And whoever shows off in acts of worship, then Allah will show him. And so the meaning of this is a threat for showing off, whether if it's regards to statements or actions. Yani that this is a threat for the one who does the deeds of the hereafter in order to be seen and to be praised and to have status and rank. So that's the meaning of the verse. The one who says statements and he makes statements and hoping to be heard and praised by the people, Allah will expose him. And whoever does actions and deeds wanting to be seen by the people, then Allah will expose him. The author, he says, قِيلَ مَعْنَى مَنْ سَمَّعَ سَمَّعَ اللَّهُ بِهِ أَيْ فَضَحَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Yani the meaning of that statement, that whoever, man samma'a, samma'a Allahu bihi, yani whoever wants to be heard, then Allah will make him be heard, meaning that Allah will expose him on the day of resurrection. وَمَعْنَى مَنْ يُرَائِي أَيْ مَنْ أَظْهَرَ الْعَمَلَ الصَّالِحَ لِلنَّاسِ لِيَعْظُمَ عِنْدَهُمْ. Yani whoever shows off, the meaning of that, whoever shows off, meaning the one who shows his righteous deeds to the people and displays them to the people so that he can have a great status and rank with them. يُرَائِي بِهِ اللَّهِ, that Allah will show him. He says, قِيلَ مَعْنَاهُ إِظْهَارُ سَرِيرَتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ. It's been mentioned that the meaning of this statement here of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah will expose him, meaning his inside, It will expose his inner intentions to the people. Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause the people to know that that person is showing off and to know that he is insincere. And this is something that's from the affairs of the heart. But there are signs. There are signs that could lead to a person exposing himself, that he is doing things to be heard, or that he's wanting the praise from the people. There are signs that could lead to this, especially with regards to knowledge. And Al-Imam Al-Ajurri rahimahullah ta'ala, he has a whole chapter in the end of his book, Akhlaq Al-Ulama, clarifying the signs of the one who is insincere with knowledge. The signs of the one who is insincere with knowledge. So this is some of the statements that have been mentioned with regards to that. The one who does an action, he wants to be heard by the people. And he, for example, dhikr, or the recitation of the Qur'an, or seeking knowledge, or teaching, and he recites the verse, or he recites the hadith, or the metin, and he's showing off. He's doing that, wanting to be heard. In his heart, he wants to be heard. In his heart, he's hoping for praise and status in the hearts of the people. The one who does this, Allah will expose him. The people of knowledge have mentioned that many of this narration has come different wordings. It's related to the hereafter. But Allah knows best, as the author mentioned. Likewise, some of the people of knowledge mentioned that he may be exposed in this life as well before the hereafter. That he may be exposed in this life as well before the hereafter. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ. And so that's with regards to statements. And وَمَنْ يُرَاءِ يُرَاءِ اللَّهُ بِهِ. And the one who shows off in his actions. So whether it's in his statements or his actions. And he wants to be heard, or he wants to be seen, and he's hoping for the reward of the people, for the deeds of the hereafter. He's hoping for the praise of the people, or the acceptance of the people, for the deeds of the hereafter. This is a great threat here, that Allah will expose him, meaning that he will be exposed to the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jal. Other meanings that have been mentioned likewise, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, samma Allahu bihi, that Allah will put his mention on the tongues of the people in a foul manner. Meaning the people, they will start talking about him, and they will start blaming him. The one who wants to be seen from the people, and the one who wants to be heard from the people, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the opposite of that. And it will cause the people to blame him instead of having their praise. What has come in the sunnah, yani with regards to the clarification or an example of the exposure in the hereafter, وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ, for those who show off. It's been collected by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala from the Hadith of Mahmud ibn Labid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ الشِّرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ. He said, the thing that I fear most for you. He's talking to who? The companions, radiyallahu anhum. The thing that I fear most for you is the minor shirk. قَالُوا وَمَا شِرْكُ الْأَصْغَرُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. They said, what is the minor shirk, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الرياء, showing off, showing off. At this time, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, يَقُولُ اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلْ لَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِذَا جُزِيَ النَّاسُ بِأَعْمَالِهِمْ. Allah, he will say to them, those people who were showing off in the dunya with their righteous deeds, Allah will say to them on the day of resurrection, whenever the people have been recompensed for their deeds, and after the people have been recompensed for their deeds, Allah will say to the people who were showing off, اذهبوا, اذهبوا إلى الذين كنتم تراؤون في الدنيا فانظروا هل تجدون عندهم جزاء. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it will be said to them, after the people that get their reward and their recompense, those who used to show off, it will be said to them, go to those whom you used to show off for in the dunya and see if you have a reward with them. Go to them. And they went, of course, on the day of judgment, on the day of deen, لَا تَمْلِكُ نَفْسٌ لِنَفْسٍ شَيْئًا وَالْأَمْرُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ لِلَّهِ, that no soul has any benefit for whatsoever. مَالِكِ يَوْمَ الدِّينِ, the command and the authority of Allah is clear for everyone to see, and no one will deny it on that day, no one from the creation. Of course, they will not be able to recompense them or give them any reward. So this is a great exposure, that these people are waiting for their reward, and the people are getting their recompense on the day of resurrection. And the people who are showing off, they're in the end, the last to be recompensed. And then it said to them, go to those people you used to show off for. Go to those people you used to show off for and see if you have a reward with them. See if you have a reward with them. Likewise, the author, he mentioned a narration that we take in the next class, inshallah, in the last narration. And he is an example of the exposure of those people who show off likewise for three specific individuals. And so this narration here, man samma'a, samma'a Allahu bihi, wa man ra'a, ra'a Allahu bihi, that whoever does an action to be heard, and he heard by the people, then Allah will make him heard, meaning Allah will expose him. Then Allah will expose him. And whoever shows off and does an action to be seen by the people, then Allah will make him seen. And then, meaning that Allah likewise will expose him for his deeds. This is a great threat that a believer, he should free himself from, and he should look into himself, into his soul, and then likewise look into the creation, and with knowledge of at-tawheed, and know the creation, and know their weakness and their need for Allah, and look into his Lord, and know his greatness, and know that he is worthy of all praise and free of all needs. Therefore, he will put his hope and his trust and his love and his reliance and his fear in Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah alone. And then he will take the means. And if there is somebody in the dunya who helped him or aided him or supported him, he will thank them, no doubt. But he knows in reality that aid and that support, it came from Allah and from the decree of Allah. So therefore, his heart is attached to Allah and not to the people. His heart is attached to Allah and not to the people. So these affairs here, they go back to tahqiq al-tawheed, fulfilling the rights of al-tawheed. Who remembers what that means? We reviewed it in the first few classes of this book. Tahqiq al-tawheed, fulfilling the rights of tawheed. And this is how one can free himself entirely from these affairs. And تَخْلِيصُهُ وَتَصْفِيَتُهُ مِنْ شَوَائِبِ الشِّرْكِ وَالْبِدَعِ وَالْمَعَاصِي, that he will purify and cleanse his tawheed entirely from every aspect of shirk, major shirk and minor shirk. This issue here is what? And it's asl, showing off and wanting to be heard from the deeds of the hereafter. This is minor shirk. This is a type of shirk, no doubt about that. They call it shirk al-asgar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ أَخْوَفَ مَا أَخَافُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنْ شِرْكُ الْأَسْغَرِ, that which I fear most for you is the minor shirk. He said, what is that? He said, arriya. This is clear. Any clear statement from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is a type of shirk. The way to be free from that is to purify the tawheed, to cleanse the tawheed, to fulfill the rights of tawheed, to make the intention purely for Allah, the hope for Allah, the heart is attached to Allah, the worst of all sicknesses and diseases, and the most filthy and disgusting of all diseases of the heart, is that it will be attached to the creation and not the creator. With bringing about good, or bringing about benefit, or bringing about harm, and the likes like this. That the heart should be attached to the creator. The heart was created for this, to love Allah. But a believer, he has to strive for that, and work for that, to attach his heart to Allah. And this requires learning. Learning about Allah, and learning about his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and learning about his deen, the way that leads to him. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.